Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, you guys. This is Minister Austin with Revelation of Truth. Here we are talking about the Law of Moses today. We are going to. I have some brief announcements that I'm going to make. New Birth Word Deliverance Ministry, located at 899 Oakland Road in Georgetown, South Carolina, 29440. Deanna Canteen, Pastor, 843-359-4384. We are having a great invocations. Four nights of power pack anointed speakers. Guys, these women of God can actually, they're really anointed. And I had a chance to speak with one of them, or one of the speakers, Evangelist Shubrick, Evangelist Patricia Ann Shubrick. She's a mighty, wonderful woman of God. Real anointed woman of God, and we are having the great invocation four nights of power pack anointed speakers at March 24th, 2016. That night will be Pastor Judy Dozer, and the 25th and the 31st will be Patricia Ann Shubrick. And April the 1st, it's going to be the end of their four nights great invocation. For any Matthew 11, chapter the 28th to the 29th verse, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. More info is Evangelist Tanya McKnight Gamble. Her number is 843-344-4134. Gmail account is newbirth180@gmail.com. Guys, we expect you to be in the house, and we want you to be actually be moved by God and get what God has in store for you. On last night, we was in King Street, South Carolina. Bishop Floyd Allen Nolan and Lighthouse of Jesus Christ. They did an appreciation program for Reverend Graham out there in King Street, South Carolina. True Word of Faith Ministries out there in King Street, South Carolina. You can go on my Facebook page and find out more, find out what he preached about. That is anointing man of God. He preached about staying on the wall. Talk about Nehemiah. Nehemiah was up on the wall and he can't come down. I don't know if y'all remember that song. Say, I'm up on the wall and I can't come down. Oh, I'm up on the wall and I can't come down. Up on the wall and I can't come down. Why don't you pray for me? That's an old song. I know some of y'all probably don't know that song. But we are going to go into a commercial right in a few minutes, and we will be right back. Hello, you guys. We are talking, this is Minister Christopher Alston with Revelation of Truth, talking about the Law of Moses. First, we want to thank you guys for tuning in and listening to me on today. Sorry about that. We want to thank you guys. First, let's say a prayer. Father God, we thank you for this hour, this opportunity, and this chance, Lord, is to come on your airwaves and tell people about your word, and your word, and what you said in your word, Heavenly Father. God, we trust you right now, Heavenly Father. Lord, is there anything that we need of right now, God? God, you know what we need and what we desire right now. God, I ask you, God, what we need. What we need, Heavenly Father. We ask you right now, God, is to move in our lives. Move in this radio station, God. God, let me hit people's hearts and minds and soul, make them want to chase after you, God. God, it's not about me. It's not about Minister Alston. It's not about none of other stuff. God, it's about you, God. We ask you, God, just to move, God, in our situations and move on our job, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for letting me stay up on the wall, Heavenly Father. When there was doubt in my mind, God, I felt like giving up. But God, you say, stay yet on the wall. And I'm staying and trusting in your name. God, Heavenly Father, let you make this radio station whatever you want to desire it to be. God, I can't do nothing without you, God. God, I'm only leaning and depending on you. But God, give me the strength and the ability and that knowledge, Heavenly Father, Lord, just to speak your word. God, you said if I speak your word, God, and don't let my words be in vain, but God, let it hit somebody, somebody heart, somebody soul, and somebody mind. God, Heavenly Father, we ask you now, God, to do all these things in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Here we see the Law of Moses. the law of Moses. Let's explain the way of the New Testament use the phrase of law of Moses. This term will also help us understand the difference between the Old Testament eerie and the new. The Jerusalem Council, Acts 15, meet to discuss this very question. Some of the believers who belong to the party to the Pharisees, or the Pharisees, stood up and said, the Gentile must be circumcised and required to obey the law of Moses. That's in verse 5. The council concluded that the Gentiles did not have to obey the law of Moses. The New American Bible, for example, says this: the Jerusalem councils marks the official rejection of the rigid view that Gentiles converts were obligated to observe the Mosaic law. Paul's refusal to expose the Mosaic law on the Gentiles. Christians is supported by Peter on that ground that within his own experience, God bestowed the Holy Spirit upon Cornelius and his household without any preconditions concerning the adoption of the Mosaic law. In verse 28, the apostle told the Gentiles that they did not require anything beyond four particular restrictions. This does not mean that they were free to murder and blaspheme. They were to avoid murder and blasphemy because of Christ, not because of the law of Moses. Jesus, just what is the law of Moses? What is being discussed? The New Testament tells us the law of Moses includes this phrase. It's used six other times in the New Testament. Second chapter in the 22nd verse, when the time of their purification according to the law of Moses has been complete, Joseph and Mary took Jesus to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, so that the law of Moses includes ritual regarding uncleanness after childbirth. It should have been obviously already that it doesn't make sense to claim that Christians ought to observe the law of Moses. Neither Jews nor Gentiles. Christians have to observe these purification rituals today. Luke 24 and 44, Jesus, after his resurrection, said to his disciples, this is what I told you. I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses. The prophets and the Psalms in this verse, the law of Moses includes prophecies about the Messiah. It's not just ritualistic laws. It's the five books of Moses, the Torah and the Pentateuch. John, the 7th chapter, the 22nd verse, to the 23rd, Jesus was talking to the Pharisees. Yet, because Moses gave you circumcision, though actually it did not come from Moses, but from the Pharisees. You circumcise a child on the seventh. Now, if a child can be circumcised on the seventh, so that the law of Moses may not be broken, why are you angry with me for healing the whole man on the Sabbath? Here the law of Moses includes the law of circumcision. Moses does not originate the practice, but wrote about it in his laws. The 28th chapter and the 23rd verse, where Paul was in Rome. They arranged to meet Paul on a certain day and came in even larger numbers to place where he was staying. From morning till evening, he explained and declared to them the kingdom of God and tried to convince them about Jesus from the law of Moses and from the prophets. Here again, the law of Moses includes prophecies about Jesus Christ. It is one section of the Old Testament. 1 Corinthians 9:9, it was written in the law of Moses, do not muzzle an ox while it is threading out the grain. Here the law of Moses, includes civil laws, because Paul could adopt a principle from the new covenant, but in the law of Moses, it was the civil law. Here in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, the 28th verse, anyone who reject the law of Moses die without mercy. They die without mercy. Testimony of two or three witnesses. This is also talking about a civil law. The administration of the death penalty in ancient Israel, the law of Moses includes civil laws, religious ceremonies, and prophecies. It's referring to everything that Moses wrote in the book of Moses, the Torah, and on the law. The law of Moses includes everything in this book, and that was in that what the Jerusalem Council was about. Some people claim that the Gentile Christian had to be circumcised and to keep all the laws found in the five books of Moses. This council concluded that they did not have kept all these laws. So here again, we're talking about the law of Moses. Now, the law of Moses have two, they have a civil law, because here we're talking about, you know, they shouldn't muzzle an ox while he's doing out the grain. That's a civil law. So it was dividing into two parts. Well, they said four parts of it, but when we look at the law of Moses, that was dealing with the Old Testament time, but we are in a new era now. Now we are in the New Testament, and we are going to talk more about the New Testament aspects of the law of Moses. What we read the Old and the New Testament about, you know, the law of Moses, but we want to get further understanding about the law of Moses to realize some things in our lives. We as Christians today, we are already circumcised from birth, but they wasn't talking about circumcision from birth. Well, God was talking about circumcision from birth because the Jewish law believed that, you know, when you get a certain age, you know, they have circumcision ceremonies or whatever cases. But when we look at it, from my understanding and my point of view of it, we're talking about the circumcision of the heart. First, we got to get our heart and minds settle on God. If our heart is not right, if our heart is not right, then our mind and our soul can't get right, because we're going to, in our human body, we're going to what our hearts and our minds say do. We are not going to go by man's law. We're supposed to go by God's law. But if our heart and our mind is not focused on Jesus, then we are disobeying what God designed us to do. Now, circumcision of the heart, that means that you got to circumcise some hate, circumcise some envy and jealousy. The most thing. Now, let's talk about Donald Trump. Donald Trump has his heart and his mind set up that he despises black people. That is what his heart and his mind set tell him to do. But if we can look at some things in the Bible. Check this out. You remember when Saul was on his way to the on the Damascus Road? You remember he was doing almost the same thing that Donald Trump is doing. Now, if you don't believe me, look at some of his traits and look at some of his things he talk about. He was doing the same thing Saul was doing. Saul was going the way to destroy the church, talking bad about the church, talking bad about this, talking bad about that. Donald Trump said that, you know, he going to take every black person and ship them back to Africa where we belong. But look, they did the same thing to Jesus. They had wanted to find Jesus and kill Jesus. You remember? So if they had wanted to do that to Jesus, what do you think about us? They'll do the same thing to us too. They're trying to destroy us. Look at our society we live in. The law now states that we can marry the same sex. Now, that's not of God. Now, if you look at that in the Bible said God made Adam for Eve. Not Eve for Eve or Eve for Steve or whatever. Adam for Steve or whatever. God made Adam and Eve. And they're taking the law now. Oh, I feel this thing. They're taking the law now and making it a ludicrous. Look at the church. We got people in the church come up with the same garbage in the world and bring it in the church. That's not of God. We got to look at these things. Hold on. We're gonna take a little break right now, and I'll be right back.
Worship you alone, blessed Savior, my God, from the depths of my heart. I'll give all praise and honor to you, O matchless King. Yeah. Worship you,
alone,
blessed Savior,
oh Lord.
From the depths of my heart, yeah,
I give all.
Sorry about that, you guys. But we are taking the law, we are taking the same crap that's in the world in the church. Here, we see that, look at our church arena now. Our church arena now has the same mentality of the world. Yes, I love our young people. I love them to death. But there's certain things you should be doing in the church. The church is not a club. The church is not a place where you get up and you know, in a club scene. Now we got it. I thank God for all the young people that participate in church activities and participate in these in church functions. But we are living in a day of time now that we older folks up in the 40s and 50s got to come to realization about our youth. Our youth is actually dying out because in certain denominations. Our youth is dying out in certain denominations because we are not letting them express themselves. We are not letting them actually, you know, do certain things in the church. But when the young people do certain things in the church, listen to me, young people. When we do certain things where we, as young people, do certain things in the church, let it be accordingly to what the Word of God is saying. First of all, I think that young people that do stuff in the church, they should have a discernment, a Holy Spirit connection with God. I don't think that they should just come into church and just not be saved and not do it, you know, not be saved and you sing on the choir and you doing all this other function. I think that, you know, you should at least get saved and, you know, get your heart, because what we was talking about earlier about the circumcision of the heart, sometimes in our lives, we got to get our heart ready for receiving what God says. Sometimes we don't want to take into our mind and our heart and our body and soul what God actually says. We want to do things our own way. It's not like that. We have laws and government to go by in church and everything. But Donald Trump, I'm back on the subject, but Donald Trump, I think that Donald Trump is like Saul. And what Donald Trump is actually really doing, I think that he is setting up the campaign for Hillary Clinton to win. Because if you look at it, he does everything to despise what she's doing. I know we're talking about religious, and we're talking about politics too, but y'all need to follow Donald Trump and actually listen to what he says sometimes. He is to me, he is like Saul, fighting the church, fighting people. That's, you know, I really want to sit down and actually really talk to him and ask him, I mean, what are his aspects of making America, make America back together again? What is he talking about? Back together again? America was never departed from. What was America's problem was that we take things for granted. That's American problem. We have American greed. We want to be over everybody in the world. But we gotta be mindful that we have other, you know, people in the world with different religions. Certain religions believe in certain things. Now we trying to get the law in the world on what America is doing. It doesn't work like that. Now, we are talking, we're going to talk more about the law of Moses and what he, and everything. I think the law of Moses is really something that we need to actually read and understand and get the good information about the law of Moses and break it down. And when you go to Bible study, you know, ask your pastor or your pastor or whoever leading Bible study, talk about the law of Moses. Because the law of Moses is real powerful, guys. The law of Moses is real powerful. Only thing that, you know, we can compare the law of Moses to some of our civil laws and our laws, and we can stand up for certain things that we believe in the world. Now, we can't, I'm not despising against homosexuals or despising against Donald Trump, but I think that we can, you know, change some of these things. I'm thinking we can change some of these things, because what we did to that, our young people, was so disgusting and so outrageous. What we did, where we take prayer out of school, when we took prayer out of school, we left room for the devil to intercede. Now, y'all remember in the Bible, it was talking about when Jesus went up in the synagogue, and I think he was like 12 years old, and he was talking to the people about biblical stuff, and things was coming to pass, and they look at him like, you know, where does this little boy come from? But I believe that if we take time and focus with our kids and everything, and we get back to a system that we can actually pray and have Bible study in the homes, I think some of our young people will do a whole lot better in school, to me. Now, I'm not saying that you go out there and spread abroad and spoil the child and beat the child for everything the child do, but I'm just saying, you know, we need as, you know, Christians, we need to take up time with our young people. It don't matter if you're black, white, Mexican, Puerto Rican, or whatever case is. I'm not being racist. I'm just saying, you need to take up time with our youth, because our youth is what our future holds. If it wasn't for the young people that was coming up, actually, literally, I think in the church will be dead, because some of the older people are now are dying out. And they are faith. Don't get me wrong. They are faithful members, and they are faithful to God and to the pastor, but and to the church. But our young people are actually dying out, and I think that we need to take time with our youth. We can talk about the law of Moses another time. I think on Thursday afternoon, we are going to talk about, we are just going to have a praise session, and we are just going to actually just get out the word a little bit, and we are going to have just a good time and with music and talk about life in general, because our young people need to know about Christian life. If Chris Brown and these other R&B artists and rapper and gangster rapper can talk about the gangster lifestyle, I think we need to talk about the Christian lifestyle and actually get them, you know, and deep involved in the Christian lifestyle, because, you know, our youth don't understand Christianity. You know, they go to church, they sing on the choir, everybody want to be a Tasha Call, everybody want to preach, everybody want to do this, everybody want to do that. But it is a life that you need to walk. Hear me out. Christian life, you need to walk a Christian life. Tasha Cobb didn't get there overnight. She worked hard what she did. What she did, she stayed before the Lord. She stayed on her face to the Lord. The Holy Spirit. You understand what I'm saying? It's a way how you walk this life. You just can't come up and you say, well, God bless me with a voice, I'm just going to be a gospel singer or anything in that nature. You got to work towards what you're doing. Amen? You just can't come up and say, well, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. No. You got to work at what you're doing. Get a connection with God. Get a prayer life with God. Stay on your face before the Lord. when you do all these things, get a discernment. Get down on your knees and just tarry for God. Tarry for Jesus. Back in the older days, we used to have a tarrying bench. And we used to tarry and tarry until we got the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the evidence of speaking in other unknown tongues. So, this concludes our show for today. We are going to leave you guys with this thought for today. We are going to leave you with this thought for today. And it says, whoever, well, we're going to leave you with the scripture for today. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. 1 John, the 3rd chapter, in the 10th verse. Amen. And I hope this inspire your heart and inspire your mind. And remember, my announcement for today was New Birth World Deliverance Ministry, 899 Oatland Road, Georgetown, South Carolina, 29440. Deanna Canteen, Pastor, 843-359-4834. The Great Invocation. Remember these nights, guys. March the 24th, March the 25th, March the 31st, and April the 1st. The services started at 7:30 p.m. Remember, 7:30 p.m. Theme is Matthew 11, chapter the 28th to the 29th verse. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy burden, and I will give you rest. Thank you guys for listening, and I want you to stay encouraged and stay blessed with the Lord. And remember, God loves you, and I love you, and you can't do nothing about it, because God told me to love you. In spite of all, in spite of it, I still got to love my brothers. If I don't love my brothers and my sisters, then I'm not walking with God. I'm walking with the enemy. But I love you, and you can't do nothing about it. Till we meet again on Thursday, 11 o'clock a.m., we look forward to hear from you. We look forward to be on the air with you guys on Thursday, 11 o'clock. Until then, stay blessed in the Lord, and make sure on today or this week, you know, you talk about the law of Moses and talk about the goodness of Jesus and try to inspire somebody's heart on.
Brought your burdens, brought your pain, but I have a message for you today, that when you leave here, won't be the been into your position. Look at you, there's been no change in your condition. Reach out and touch the master's robe. There's healing for your mind, oh, your body and your soul. Oh, yes, there is. Hallelujah. God can heal.
God can heal.
Oh, yeah. And he can mend a broken
man.
About the situation, but with every test and every trial, there is revelation that God is able to supply every one of your needs. He's here to touch and heal you. That you'll have your healing. Once God works a miracle to fit your needs, so tell the Lord, oh, what you have received. Hallelujah.
Lord,
mended my broken.
He has mended my broken neck.
Give me a miracle.
Give me a spirit soul.
Just a bit
to my knees.
Can I get a witness in here? Can I get, lift your hands and pray.
Praise
God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, come to bring me out of it. Oh, yes, you are.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. Come on, somebody praise him. I believe there's healing in the room right now. Come on, God is healing some relationships tonight. Come on, God is healing by his spirit. Healing by...
That I stepped in the water.